God, thank you so much for everything, for this gift of life, for the gift of each breath that we take, for the gift of friendship, of family, of love. We thank you for those who gave birth to us. We thank you, God, for those who have been a part of offering nurture and care to us through the years. And we thank you for the call you give us even today to not only give thanks, not only remember, but to commit ourselves to being among those who nurture the children, the next generations into the years ahead. We so long to be a part of that work of your Spirit, of your church, here at this time and into the years to come. And so we pray this morning for your Holy Spirit to enable us to learn what we need to learn, to be shaped as we need to be shaped, and God, to venture forward empowered by your Spirit to do this great work of mission and ministry. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So today's Ascension Sunday, which maybe is not one you've noticed very often. We think about Easter and Christmas and a few of those big days like that. Ascension's a big day for the church too. Each time we recite, which we often do when we celebrate communion, we recite the Apostles' Creed, we come to that line that says, "He ascended to the right hand of God the Father." And today is the day we reflect on that because it's a very important doctrine of the church. Maybe, again, not one we've thought about very much, but it's this statement that Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father that tells us not only that Jesus rose from the dead, but that he stands and sits at the right hand of God the Father, that place of authority, ruling over all things. I mean, listen to what the Apostle Paul says here in Ephesians chapter 1. He says, "I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so that with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe, according to the working of his great power. God put this power to work in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come." This is a huge statement that we make today, that Jesus has ascended. So no matter what the challenges might be that we face as a church or as individuals, whatever we're looking at in our world, know this. Jesus is on the throne. And all things will be brought together under his feet. That he is the ruler of everything, of every power in this age and the next. Take a deep breath and give thanks. That's what we do on Ascension Sunday. And we also reflect on the texts from the New Testament that talk about Jesus' ascension. And this morning we're going to look at the one that Luke tells in the Gospel of Acts, the first chapter. He actually ends his first book, the Gospel of Luke. He ends that book with the story of the ascension, because it's so important, by the way. And he begins the next book, his second book, the book of the Acts of the Apostles, with the story of Jesus' ascension. So I invite you to listen in and think about, pray for, actually, God to give us insight into what the ascension of Jesus can teach us about living life today. In the first book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus did and taught from the beginning until the day that he was taken up into heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself alive to the apostles by many convincing proofs, appearing to them over 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. While staying with them, he ordered them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. "This," he said, "is what you have heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom to Israel? He replied, it is not for you to know the time or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. When he had said this, as they were watching, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. While he was going and they were gazing up toward heaven, suddenly two men in white robes stood by them. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking up toward heaven? This Jesus who has been taken away from you into heaven will come in the same way that you saw him go into heaven. Then the disciples returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. When they had entered the city, they went to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James. All of these were constantly devoting themselves to prayer, together with certain women, including Mary, the mother of Jesus, as well as his brothers. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. What an amazing story. You know, the book of Acts is actually full of amazing, wonderful stories. It almost seems when you think of the book of Acts that it's the disciples just going from one great experience to the next. I mean, just the kingdom of God blowing open, the church growing, and the mission of God spreading. And it is that. But it's also the apostles hitting one challenge after another challenge after another. It's also the story of disciples being persecuted and killed, being run out of cities. It's a story of great movement of the Spirit of God in the world, but it's also a story of great challenge. In fact, you know, even thinking of this story as the disciples, as the apostles watch Jesus rising to heaven, I can't help but think how vulnerable they must have felt as they watched him go. I mean, this is great. Jesus is leaving us again. He's promised that the Holy Spirit's coming, that he'll never leave them nor forsake them, but he's leaving them, and it feels a bit like he's forsaking us. You know, it's worth thinking about how these disciples must have felt. Vulnerable in the face of these challenges. It's not like they just blew through all of them and, somebody wants to stone me. Somebody wants to put me on a cross upside down. It's just another day. Life is difficult. Being human, to say nothing of seeking to be a part of what God is doing, the mission of God in the world, that actually increases our vulnerability. It doesn't decrease it. Life is challenging, and we need to know that we are vulnerable in the face of life's challenges. Just like those disciples, this is part of what it means to be human. Ever since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden and left that the comfort, the wonder of that garden, that close, deep connection with God, they went out vulnerable into the wide, wide universe. I mean, think about it. We're just little specks on a huge planet. Of course, our planet is just a tiny speck in a huge solar system. Huge. Of course, our solar system is just a minuscule speck in just this mammoth galaxy. And of course, our galaxy, we haven't finished counting yet, but, you know, it's somewhere between 100 and 200 billion galaxies. Do you feel small yet? gamma rays emitted from some exploding star could come through Earth in a split second and we're all toast. Of course, that's not what most of us worry about. That's not typically what we feel vulnerable about. I hope you don't. Maybe today you will. Sorry about that. What makes us feel vulnerable, I've spoken to some people this past week about it. This one friend who says, it's trying to figure out which bill I should pay and which one I shouldn't pay, how I can make things work so that I don't get tossed out of my house. It's a mom who's worried about her child and doesn't have control over the decisions, the choices the child will make. It's the spouse whose husband needs some medical care that he may or may not be able to get, that may or may not be able to work. It's the grief of leaving friends and heading off to the adventure of college. It's good, but it's also this great vulnerable feeling. I mean, the list goes on. What makes you feel vulnerable? I walk into church this morning and there's an envelope in my box. I'm like, is it going to be good news or bad news? I'm vulnerable, and so are you. Like the disciples. And I'm so grateful that as I read through the book of Acts, and even just these first 14 verses, that there's actually some themes that keep on playing out. Things that we can pray that God would offer us as he did through those first apostles that will help us step forward in the face of life's challenges. I'd like to call them a prescription for facing life's challenges. Acts chapter 1, a prescription for facing life's challenges. These will be the things that I invite you to join me in praying for. First of all, pray for perspective. I'm so impressed by the first thing Jesus does when he comes back, when he rises up from the dead. John chapter 20, he shows them his hands and his side. He lets them touch him. He proves, as the gospel, as Luke says here, through many convincing proofs, he shows them that he is actually risen, that he really is really the risen Lord. They see this. John, in his first letter, writes, I'm writing about what we've seen and what we've touched with our own hands. I'm writing these things so you can believe and join in the fellowship of love of God, because that brings my joy and your joy to fullness. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 says how Jesus met with Peter and the disciples and then with more and with 500 people at a time. For me, this is one of the most convincing pieces of evidence, and there's a lot of evidence, that Jesus is the Messiah, that he is the Son of God, that he is risen from the dead and ascended to the Father. But one of the most convincing for me is looking at the lives of these disciples who were denying Jesus, running the other way, locking the doors. The New Testament is very honest about this. They're scared out of their gourd. But something happens. They don't end up, most of them end up dying a martyr's death. They don't die trying to tell a lie to the world. Who would do that? They're willing to die because they've actually seen and touched and heard Jesus. And they want to pass on this wonderful news. They're willing to die for it. That complete turnaround for them, empowered by the Holy Spirit, is what helps convince me to have this perspective of faith in the face of the challenges of my own doubts and questions, in the face of the difficulties of life. This is a God we can trust. Pray for the perspective of faith. You know, what we can see are the circumstances around us. We've been wrong. We've been hurt. Things aren't going well. Ask God to give you the bigger perspective, the perspective of faith that says the Good Shepherd is with you here, that God has overcome even death itself, that God can work through the worst things that can happen to you in this world for good, for you and through you. Trust God. Pray for that perspective of faith. The second thing we can pray for is, and we need to pray for patience. Is this the time, Jesus, when you're going to restore the kingdom, when everything's going to go right? And he says, it's not for you to know that, but you can wait. And I'm going to give you what you need for today. I'm going to give you your daily bread and more than you actually know to ask for. I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. But God knows in the midst of, in the face of the challenges of life, we've got to pray for patience for ourselves and for one another. That we, the disciples here, they still have questions. They've been with Jesus for 3 years and 40 days now. And they still have questions that Jesus has not answered for them. And in fact, in this case, is not going to answer for them. And they're just going to have to be patient. They're going to have to trust God, even though they don't have all the answers. Even though they're not sure what's around the next corner, they're going to be patient and wait with God until they get to that corner, and then they'll take that step with him. So pray for God in the face of whatever challenges that you're facing, certainly that we're facing. Pray for the patience to trust God and to trust God's timing. Now, this third one is one that I think is at the center of the whole book of Acts and certainly the center of what we need to be about. Pray for power. Pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. The church today, and many of us as Christians, are so anemic because we're trying to do the work of God in our own strength, in our own wisdom. We look at the book of Acts, and God works through their weaknesses. God works through their strengths. God works when they get it right. God works because God is the one at work among them and through them. We desperately need that today. This is what I mentioned among the announcements, that I want to say some of the good things that are happening. There's so many good things happening here at Salem. It's obvious that the Spirit of God is at work. Our adult Sunday school class that is ending today, has been just more highly attended than ever. They've got these wonderful instructors coming in. I looked at our family parenting group as I walked by after the second service, and that room there is packed. It's great to see people together encouraging one another as parents. I think about Friday night, we had this Journeys for 50 Plus dinner. These adults who have been serving our kids in Awana and other programs through the years, these adults were served by many of our children. I think, how cool is that? 90 adults were there gathered for a time of fellowship and fun, and they were being served by kids. And I think of how good that is here at Salem, that we're not just bringing kids in so they can be a part of the church in the sense of receiving, but they can be a part of the church in the sense of the whole life of the church, of receiving and serving, of that connect, grow, and go, that we want our kids to get a part of the whole of the mission of God here, because that's when it really comes alive for us. You know, as a kid, when God, if I had an opportunity to be on a soccer team, last thing I wanted to do was sit on the bench. We don't want to tell our kids, come be a part of what we're doing here and sit down and stay there. We want to come and play. Come be a part of this mission. I love the fact that this Global 6K, thank you. You know, that the groups that have been training on Sunday afternoons have been from 5 years old up to, it goes on up here, myself included. I mean, but that's what we're doing here. God's on the move, and it's so exciting. But I got to believe that we're just touching the tip of the iceberg. That God wants to do abundantly far more than all we have yet asked or imagined. If we'll trust him, if we'll pray for his Holy Spirit, if we'll open our hearts and our minds and our lives to the Holy Spirit. And so I want to invite you, I want to ask you, please, this week, Pentecost is next Sunday. Would you please join me in praying every day this week, beginning today, for the power of the Holy Spirit to descend upon us, for God to fill us with the Holy Spirit, you, me, us, to do more than what we know to even ask for or imagine. This is what Paul is talking about, that verse I read earlier from Ephesians. You know, I pray that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation as you come to know him, so with the eyes of your heart enlightened, you may know what is the hope to which he has called you, what are the riches of his glorious inheritance among the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of his power for us who believe. I want us to believe in the power of the Holy Spirit and to pray for it. Who knows what great things God can do? I feel vulnerable as we move forward because we're moving forward so well, but we know things can go askew. We can divide up. We can go our own ways. But the Holy Spirit can accomplish far more, even in the face of challenges. So pray for the power of the Holy Spirit. Finally, the fourth thing, as we see the disciples do here, pray and proceed. You know, disciples at this point, there's no way they're going to change the world. They're just hoping they won't get killed. And actually, that happens to most of them. But they can pray and they can proceed. They can take their next step in faith. And so they do. They go back to Jerusalem. They go back to that upper room. They pray. They go to the temple in public and they worship. They celebrate God. And they do the little things they can do. They're not going to be able to change the world today, but they can prayerfully choose somebody to replace Judas Iscariot as one of the apostles. And so that's what they do. And I think of how often in my own life, like, I want to change the world. I want to fix all our problems. I want to solve. Okay, great, Mark. But let's pray and proceed with what you can do today. Sometimes that includes getting out of bed, saying a prayer, eating a good breakfast. You get the idea. What is it that God is calling you to do, your next step? What does it mean for you? In the midst of all the problems that you've got, all the vulnerability that you're feeling, what does it mean for you to just keep proceeding in prayer, trusting God enough to take your next step, believing that good shepherd is with you even through the darkest valleys, that he is with you and he will lead you and he will provide for you and he will guide you and you can trust him, and together by the power of the Holy Spirit, we will accomplish abundantly far more than we have ever asked or imagined. This is the truth of the scriptures. And I call you today to believe it and to pray with me for the Holy Spirit to descend upon us. I'm not even sure what that exactly means because I don't know what God will do. But I know Jesus tells us that this is a prayer that the Father loves to answer. How much more, Jesus says in Luke chapter 11, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So pray, please. And proceed. Let's pray right now. God, thank you so very much for loving us so much that in the midst of our doubts, our questions, we can pray and ask you, and you answer our prayers. You will give us the daily bread we need to take our next step. So God, grant us the patience we need as we pray, and grant us, please, the Holy Spirit. Move among us, O Holy Spirit, giving us gifts beyond what we know we need, that we might do this mighty work, that we might be a part of the continuing expansion of your kingdom and of your church in our world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.